for our Sunday morning session. And may the Lord bless us together today as we continue in our hearts, in our very souls, to know Him, and together that we may grow up into Him who is the head in all things. Who is the head, Paul says, growing up into Him who is the head. Well, because He is the head, we are His body. Now, each time I think about that and look in Ephesians 4, where Paul is talking concerning that, there is but one head. And you and I, most of us will just agree to that. Oh, yes, there's one head. And then we'll say, you know, one eternal Son. There's just one Son, one Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's true. And we'll say, then there is just one eternal high priest. There is just one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we agree with all of that. Or, you know, in our theology, we'll find ourselves saying that is true. But do we understand in the light of there being one Son who dwells in each of us, the same Son? Do we understand that there is one Son who dwells in each of us? And that is, there is one Son who dwells in us, that there is one head making us one body. One body. Not, there isn't two heads, therefore there's not two bodies. Do we understand that? That Christ Himself is our union. Christ Himself is the foundation upon which our union is founded, and upon nothing else. He's the one rock, the one cornerstone. He's the one headstone. He's the one foundation, folks. And that Christ Himself is the one indwelling Son of God. Each of us have the same Spirit living in us, that Spirit of Christ. What I'm getting to here, because we're going to be talking about the Father's house, the house of glory that we are. What I'm talking about here is that if He's one, then through our relationship with Him, then we are one. We're not even two. We're one. That can only truly find a dwelling place in our heart and become the understanding of our soul through the seeing with the eyes of our understanding, through the knowing by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the eyes of our understanding being opened, and we actually come to understand by the Spirit Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Not in some academic form, not in some academic knowing, not that way, but that by that very eternal Spirit who witnesses with our very inner being that Christ dwelleth in us. Christ dwelleth in us. And the point I'm trying to make is that if He is one, then we are. Whatever we're looking at is our relationship with Him. If He is one, then we are one. If He is one, then by Him we're one body. If He is one, then we're one house and one household. If He is one, then we are one city. You understand? He maketh us one. In union with Himself. And we can't find our oneness looking at each other, because when we do that, we're looking at each other in the flesh. And He told His disciples, you can't really know who I am by looking at me in the flesh. Now, this was looking at Jesus in the flesh, watching Him do what He did. I mean, breaking the bread and the fishes and walking on water, speaking to the storm, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick. And yet He said flesh and blood has not given you this understanding, Peter, who said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, my Father in heaven showed you this. And sweetheart, it's that way now. Except now, Christ is not on the outside, and we are not looking at Him in His flesh and blood. This time, Christ is in us by His Spirit. He is come, and He lives in us. And that's part of what we'll be talking about here just recently, or just in a moment. But what I want to tell you is that He's the foundation. He is the reason. He is the substance of everything that we are in Him. We are His body. We are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Christ is the substance of that. We're not a new creation and then He's somewhere. No. We're a new creation because we are in Him. He is the where that we are. He is the eternal place, dwelling, that we are. You see, He is the substance of our salvation. Too many times in Christianity as a religion, we try to measure the body of Christ by measuring one another in the natural. And we all have all kind of little ways that we measure, none of which equals to Christ. None of which equals to Christ. Christ Himself is the measure of His own body. Christ Himself is the measure of His city, the measure of His temple, the measure of His house. Christ Himself is the measure of the grace of God given unto us in Christ. The more we comprehend by the Spirit of God our relation to Christ, the more, and in equal measurement, the more we will comprehend our relation one to another. In equal measurement, to the measure that we see our union with Christ is the same measure to which we see our union one with another. It's impossible for it to be done any other way. So we're talking about our union with Christ. We're talking about the reality of our being in Christ. What does that mean? And we're talking about the Father's house. And we've been talking about that as the house of glory. Now, I've just done this on a CD, which you will be receiving, you who receive those CDs, in just a matter of time. It's the CD for August 2021. And we're looking at the Father's house as being the house of His glory. The house of His glory. I hope we'll begin to get a hold of that, and that's the reason I wanted to do this presentation here this Sunday, and probably we'll be dealing with it in a more continual way for some time to come. Now, I want to start here with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I think that it's verse 9, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, hon, this isn't a prophecy of something that is yet to come. This is an open, unhidden declaration made to the church by Paul concerning their relationship to Christ at that present time. And it's the same relationship we have with Christ at this present time. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And since I'm here in this first chapter, I want to read something else that's in it to you. At the end of this first chapter, toward the end of the first chapter, then I want us to read just this. In direct reference to what I've just got through reading in chapter 1, verse 9. And let me read verse 10 first. Verse 10. 9 and then verse 10. Because I want to show you that this isn't pointing to a future time. No. Paul is saying, because this is true, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That you all speak the same thing. That's not talking about our vocabulary alone, or that we all do the same quotation. No. You all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. Now that's why I started off telling you Christ is one. One life, one resurrection, one body, one head of that one body. Because, sweetheart, if that is true of him, and we are in him and he is in us, then that is true of you and I too. John 17 is full of this, Father, that they may all be one. One what? One whatever gives him expression. One body, one house, one kingdom, and also one understanding, one wisdom. Oh, yes. And that's what I want to read to you in just a second. Sweetheart, we can only live as many as long as our understanding is we are the many who are one. Not the many who are many. Many who are one. One what? One what Christ is. One what Christ is. One life. The many who are one life. One resurrection. One house. Again, one body. I can go right on down the line. The many who have one life living in us. The many who have one light, true light given of God in which to walk. For God hath shined in our hearts, but he hasn't shined 50 different things or 50,000. No, God hath shined. He hadn't shined something. God himself hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Son is, according to the Hebrew writer, from chapter 1 on through the end of that letter, that one Son is that shining forth of God himself? He is the brightness of his glory. He is the expression of the very righteousness, character, nature, and of course spirit of God. Father, that they may be one as we are one. It has nothing to do with you and I becoming God. But it has everything for us to do with us, that we become one in them. One in Christ, because we are one in Christ. Why? Because we're only in Christ by virtue of Christ living in us. Now see, we could run that around the bush all day long. But unless we in our hearts just say, Father, my Lord, reveal in my soul the one who dwells in me, the one whose body I now am, that I may see my oneness with those who live in him, that I may see my union with his body, with his house, by seeing him. You see, hon, there is diversification of ministries, diversification of members of that body. But there is only one body. One body. And no one member can say of another member, because you are not the member that I am, I have no need of you. Or that goes on and on. And I don't know why I'm making such a point of this, but it's in my heart to do it, that we cannot see, well, hon, it is his body that is to give forth of him a living witness wherever we're found on this earth, and not a divided witness of denominationism, not that, and not even a divided witness of a divided gospel. Right after Paul says over here, who hath called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, then he goes on, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That cannot, darling, be the natural mind. No, because each, E-A-C-H, each of us have one of those, and it will never be joined together. No, the same mind is having the mind of the Spirit of God, the mind which is called the mind of Christ, the knowing of the Spirit, and that out from that, and the same judgment, the judgment being when one died, all died. When one died, all died. But in that he liveth in those that have heard his voice and come to receive him. And we now live as one in whom Christ dwells. And that's the only way it works, hon. That is the only way it works. That we all speak the same thing, as I said, does not mean we all preach the same sermons or all teach the same verses. The same that we speak is the one and the only one who is always the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Because as he was, so he is. As he is, so he shall ever be. I mean, come on, darling. We preach Christ because he's the same. He is the same. And to the glory of the Father, he lives in you and I. Now, in verse 30, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, because we're about to talk about the presence in just a moment. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, it means of God here, it's talking about of God, of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now see, this is the same one in verse, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How did that come about? What what does that really mean? It means because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. So you see, we're not talking about a fellowship with Jesus Christ, who is one place and we're in another place, who is far, 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 far away. No. He has called us into the fellowship of his Son. Why? Because he has placed us by the Spirit of God. He has placed us through new birth, through Spirit baptism. He has placed us in his Son as the one body of his Son, and hath called us into one fellowship, wherein there is no division, wherein there is one mind, wherein there is one gospel. He has placed us in Christ. And now look at this. Look at this. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, of God, we're in Christ Jesus now, and who? Jesus Christ. So that Christ is of God, made unto us wisdom. Now, you might as well say one wisdom, because there's only one wisdom. Christ himself is the revealed and made manifest wisdom of God. The strong type and shadow of that is the wisdom which Solomon had, but it is just a type and shadow. But it is there connected with Solomon. Why? Solomon, because there is a direct reference, prophecy, type and shadow, testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Made unto us. See, there's no way he can be made unto us something that he himself is not. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we can go on with that through the entire allness of our salvation. For in him it pleased God that all fullness should dwell. And not only that, but it is appointed of God that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye who are in him, you in him, are complete. You are complete in him. Because the one in whom we dwell and the one who liveth in us is made unto us the full salvation that he is. What need then have I? I have need to know him, to see him. And I use the word see him. Stand still and see. The salvation of the Lord was the first real message outside of Egypt given, or out of Egypt. First instruction given. Well, it wasn't jump up and run and see if you can get away from all this game. No, it was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus, hon. That, now in verse 29 there, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 31, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right. All of this that I've been reading to you, hon, is based upon a relationship with Christ into which we have been brought by the Spirit of God, into which we have been brought by the Spirit of Christ. It all relates to what we call our salvation. Honey, we've said it before, I say it again, salvation is not really founded upon getting out of anything. It is founded upon being and finding our being in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ. So I want us to just look at this for a moment. Because it's the very purpose for which Christ came. To bring a people. I try to use another word sometimes rather than just a people, because we're not talking about some special people. So to bring man. Actually, let's do it this way. To bring believers. To bring those whom the Father hath drawn unto him. Because Jesus says also that no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. And then he turns that right around and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you see, it's a working of the Spirit of God. A working of the Spirit of God. And so, this very purpose that I've just been talking with you here a little bit about, the very purpose for which Christ came is to bring believers, to bring those that are drawn of God in himself, to bring those believers in himself to the Father, that where he is, we would be also. Now, that's not a geographic location. It's not a geographic location, but a relationship of union where we are called into God's fellowship with his Son. And he hath called us in Christ, by Christ, and he hath put us in Christ, that we may be partakers in and of that eternal fellowship of the Father and the Son. I don't think this really registers in a lot of our hearts and a lot of our understanding concerning salvation. To bring us into a fellowship that was and is and ever shall be, but a fellowship from before the foundation of the world. And you see, that has direct reference, that fellowship, to bring us into that fellowship, has direct reference to the Father's house, the household. The household is a place of fellowship. You understand, it's not a place of division, it's not a place of arguments, it's not a place, no, it's a place of fellowship. We don't add to that fellowship. We add to nothing. God brings us into a complete fellowship. We're not needed for it to be complete, but we need that fellowship before we are complete. You understand? We do not make Christ complete. We find our completeness in Him. That's the kind of house the Father's house is. A relationship of union where we're called into unto God's fellowship with His Son. And in His Son. Speaking of that Son, and you and I having access by Him into the Father's house, into the Father's house, Son, the Father's household, the Father's bosom, the Father's heart, into the household. He brings us into the spiritual reality and relationship of the Father's house that I've been talking to you about. And it's in this relationship. It's in this relationship. John 14:20 that is spoken of there by John. No, spoken of there, written there by John. Spoken there of Jesus Christ to His disciples. This relationship. And think about this relationship now. And it starts off. You will know I'm in my Father. See, hon, that's the basis of the relationship. The Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. This is why Jesus said, I must go to my Father. For except I go to my Father. Then He goes on telling them what can't possibly happen until I go to my Father. Father, He said in His prayer in John 17, you know about this, I'll just mention it to you, John 17, first few verses, and Father, I've finished the work that You sent me to do. I have finished that work. Now, O Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. You see, hon, glory. We'll speak of glory as we go on here in a moment. But glory is not something we work up. Glory is not something that we can even get a hold of. Glorify me with the glory which I had before the world was. There's nothing earthly about this glory. There's nothing in flesh and blood about this glory. And then He just says, with the glory, Father, that I had with Thee before the world was. Father, glorify me with Thine own self. There is His coming again. You know, there's a lot of talk about unless you stay right in the scriptures, but if you stay in different kinds of theologies, there's a lot of talk about Jesus coming again, Jesus coming again, a second time, a second advent, all of which, when it's spoken of, is also said, but that hasn't happened yet. Looking into the future. Look, this preaching things in the future, because you don't have to have any proof of anything if you just keep putting it into the future. Now, you don't have to even be influenced. You don't have to be motivated. You don't have to be anything, because it's in the future. It has no real foundation to it, because it's in the future, you say. But there is one that, where it says again, where he returns, and comes where he was before. And that's what I've been talking to you about here. Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the foundation of the world, before the world was. Glorify me, Father, with thine own self. He says this because the Son that left is now coming again. But that coming is into the heavens. It's into the Father. He had to leave there in order, and I'm just going to put this in a general application here. He had to leave there in order to bring us there. And yes, I know that in the middle of that statement, we put a cross. He had to leave there to do what he did on the cross and to accomplish what he accomplished in death, burial, and resurrection. And now, he's saying all of this to the Father because of the absolute surety of it. And he's speaking to the Father concerning it, along with his disciples. What he is saying in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, both to his disciples and to his Father, is all concerning the work of the cross. That which is just within hours of taking place. Well, he came in the form of the first to put away the first. He arose as the second. Yes. There is no third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. There is the first, there is the second. There is the old, there is the new. The first representing the old, the second being the very substance of the new. It's Christ himself. And he returns to glory, presenting a body joined to him in the resurrection. He brings us to the spiritual reality and relationship of the Father's house. Just as he told his disciples in John 14, well, just John 14, period, but particularly the whole chapter, John 14, but starting out with the first few verses, in my Father's house. And he brings us to that spiritual reality and relationship of the Father's house. And it is in this, in and of this relationship that he speaks here in John 14, 20. And it has to start this way. You shall know I am in my Father. I am in the Father. I am at rest. You will know that. I am at home. You will know that. I have made a full and complete trip. I am he that descended, and now I will ascend and present myself as the completeness and fullness of all that the Father hath given me to do. Tremendous reality, hon. But this is the reason for it all. See? This is the reason of it all. I am in my Father. You are in me. And I am in you. How much time do I have, Reuben?
You just passed 45.
I've just passed 45? Okay, so I mean 15. All right. I am in the Father. You are in me, and I am in you. And it's in this same relationship of which he speaks that I've just read to you. It's this same relationship, like all over again, of which he speaks through the writer of the Hebrew letter. It is spoken in Hebrews 9:24. That's a tremendous thing. Let me just read it here. It's somewhere in all this stack of notes, but I'm not ready to get into those just now. But I do want to read in Hebrews 9. Remember what we just read from John 14, verse 20. Now, and do read that whole thing. Let's not make a verse out of this. Hebrews 9:24. And we're talking about he come to take away the first. The first order of things, the first creation of things, he came to take away the first. The heaven and the earth of Judaism, that he might establish the second. He establishes the second in himself because he is the second man. We are the body of the second. First man is after the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. First Corinthians chapter 15. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. No, Christ is not entered into the tabernacle of Moses. Christ is not entered into the temple of Solomon. Christ is not entered into anything that is made with hands. He is not entered into anything that is earthy. He is not entered into the holy places made with hands, the types, the shadows, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, not hundreds, not thousands of days or years, now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Now that's what, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And the thing about that is that the presence of God for us doesn't mean, it doesn't relate that He is there and we're somewhere else. No, He appears on behalf of those who are there in Him. Those who are there in Him. And let me just say something here about that, if I can find that in my notes here. I may not be able to do it, and if I don't, I'm going to run out of time. But what I'm telling you here is not that. Let me read in my note just here. It is in this relationship that I just read in Hebrews 9, which is the same thing that we could read in John 14, 20, and that we could read in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 5, 6, and 7, and on we could go with that. But this is the relationship that Christ appears again to, and represents himself on our behalf. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. It's not the appearing of many. It is the appearing of one in whom many have come to glory. It's not the appearing of seeds, but of the one seed that has brought forth the harvest of Himself. He appears only, but not alone. You remember when Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration? We're talking about something a whole lot greater than that, more real than that. Again, that was a glimpse of what was about to come. The Mount of Transfiguration, who had Peter, James, and John up there with him, and where Moses and Elijah appeared there momentarily, and then the cloud and the brightness and all of that, and they fell upon their face. The Lord Jesus spoke to them to not be afraid. The Father spoke to them and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." All of that took place, and when they looked up, They saw none but Christ. He was standing there. But they were there with Him. And He related Himself to them. He put His hand upon them. And He lifted them up. And spoke to them. You understand what I'm trying? It all point, and He told them, He said, "Don't tell anybody about this. Do not tell anyone about this occasion until I be risen out from among the dead." And they kept their mouth shut about it, because it was speaking of what I'm talking to you about right now. And what He was talking to them about still as His disciples, written in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. But then we're reading here in Hebrews that He promised, that He said to His disciples, has taken place. He is come. And now he appears before the Father in heaven, where we have been quickened together, raised together, seated together in Christ. He is there speaking on our behalf. And yet he appears only, but not alone, not without us. He is seen, he is accepted, and we are accepted in the Beloved, in that glorified Son of God. He has brought and is still bringing many sons unto glory. But when we are found in him, please listen to me, we are not found there by the word many. We're found there by the term one body, one house. Yes, hon, we are born again individually. I'm not born again for you, nor you for me. But once we're born again, well, now we have one life together. Not two or three. We both have one life. We both are one body, one house. Why? Because we've come to the one whom God accepts. And by the grace of God, we are in that one, accepted by the Father. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there. You understand that? We are there because we are called of the Spirit unto to come. And because we're birthed of the Spirit, baptized into Christ by the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit, hon. Our salvation is a work of the Spirit. And the fullness of the salvation that we have is Christ himself. And our salvation is defined in our relationship with him. Living salvation. He is the one appearing, the one accepted of God, and we're accepted in the Beloved. I've said that. He is the one appearing before God. But he appears in the presence of God, presenting in himself those who have been given to him of his Father. Father, thine are mine, and mine are all thine, and I have kept them. You understand? He said that in John 17. Well, hon, that's what he presents to his Father. We're not in one place, he is in another. We are in him, and he is in the Father, in heaven. Hallelujah, hon. Has nothing to do with flesh and blood seeing, flesh and blood understanding, but the eternal reality of our salvation. I'm not at all interested. I mean, I'm not at all anxious for this body that you can see right here, this body, to dissolve and be gone. No, I'm not, because I have this treasure in this earthen vessel. Now, I know that when the vessel is gone, the treasure remains, because Christ lives in my very soul. But I'm not anxious for this body to be gone. No. But I am telling you that when it is gone, by whatever way or means, my life, that life which is Christ in my very soul, is not touched, is not hindered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we've already entered by our very soul in our life. We've already come to eternal life, have we not? Is he not eternal life? We say that, and then we talk about one day we'll be in eternity. We're in eternity now. Eternity is only defined, can only be defined by the one in whom eternity is fulfilled. The one who says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, and that's Christ. So I'm finished here today, but we're still talking about the reality and now-ness of our union with Christ. And it has brought us in search and in sharing to the Father's house. The glory of the Father's house. And that brings us to the fellowship of it. To the fellowship of it. God has called us into the fellowship of his house, to the fellowship of his son, to the fellowship that the Lord Jesus left in a temporary way, and the glory that he left in a temporary way, but not a temporary way, in that it was but for a number of years. But it was a complete way that he may die. And bring again out from among the dead all those who would have him as their life. The Lord bless you. See you later. Amen. Oh, by the way, well, this won't do you any good, so I won't announce it. I was going to tell you that Raven's in Tazewell this weekend, but that isn't going to do you a lot of good right now. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your help, your support. Thank you for your communication. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Have a good day. Amen.